inspiring interviews, provocative people. Get ready. Get bold today with your Emmy-winning host, LeGron Green.
My guest today is Randy Gage, and he's a prominent prosperity teacher you can find at randygage.com. He is the author of 9 books, including the New York Times bestseller, Risky is the New Safe. Welcome, Randy, to Bold.
Hey, great to be on with you.
Randy, you have always been ahead of the curve, but now I think everyone's catching up to you. What is it that most people have missed about prosperity? That word means so many different things to so many people. What does it mean to Randy Gage?
Okay, first, I will take issue. I don't think they're catching up with me. I mean,
well,
yeah, I think...
Some are.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people who follow me on Twitter and Facebook and read my books and watch Prosperity TV, I think they are catching up with
okay.
me. But if you said, you know, is the world catching up with me? No, I don't think it is. I think the world is a couple light years behind in this regard. So, Risky is the New Safe. What that book is about is how to look around the corner, predict the future, know what the challenges will arise because of that future. And then because we know what the challenges are, we know there's going to be a corresponding opportunity. So we look at any process and say, can we find a way to manufacture that widget faster, stronger, quicker, with less cost, cheaper, you know, whatever. That's adding value. Or we solve problems. Someone says, I want to know how to hit a softball 400 feet. I want to know, how do I raise healthy, happy kids? How do I learn etiquette so I can go to a business luncheon and know which bread plate is mine and which iced tea is mine? And, you know, these are problems. Anytime you can solve somebody's problem, they'll gladly give you money for it. Anytime you can add value, they'll give you money for that. So what Risky's about is how to see all of these challenges we're going to be facing. And we're crazy challenges, because we're talking about cloning, biogenetic engineering, 3D printing, people ordering designer babies, crazy medical advancements, lifetime longevity advancements, artificial intelligence surpassing all acquired human knowledge. So these are going to create a lot of the most perplexing questions that humankind has ever had to face. And, of course, every one of those challenges is going to present extraordinary opportunities to people to create wealth. So the whole take of the Risky book is this is the greatest time in human history to ever be alive, and there's never been a greater time in human history to go from broke to multi-millionaire or multi-billionaire than right now. To me, prosperity is having the things that you want in the degree to you want them, that the things that enhance your life, the spiritual connection, the relationships, the health, and the money and material things, because I think sometimes, because part of your question was, what if people get wrong? I think that's part of what people get wrong. They think that money and material things aren't important to prosperity, and they are, because if you're, you know, struggling to buy groceries or struggling to pay the rent, it's really, you can't say you're prosperous, right? So
if we're
going to be prosperous, we got to have it going on all cylinders, and that's one of the cylinders. But so to me, that's prosperity is a very holistic thing, but it's the stuff that brings joy to your life.
Speaking to this point of material possessions and material wealth and all that thing, that for me, I looked around at my friends, and I have found that some of the unhappiest people are the people who have the most things, because they were putting their value on outside rather than looking inside for what prosperity meant to them. What have you found in regard to that?
Well, I think it's what's your relationship to those things. I went on a sabbatical for 2 years, and one of the impetus that caused that was I'm one of those people who I do have a lot of those things, right? I had a lot of sports cars and a lot of beautiful watches and beautiful clothes and shoes, and you know, I would happen to be going through my closet one day and I moved something and there was this it was like a $48,000 watch that I had bought a couple years before, mm-hmm. and I had forgot I bought it.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I never wore it. And then behind that was a Patek Philippe watch, which I knew I'd bought, because when you buy a Patek, you know you own a Patek. But again, what had happened, I'd been remodeling my condo a couple years before, and I thought, well, you know, I should put these out of the way. I don't want to tempt anybody, you know, to do something silly.
Right,
so,
right.
And I forgot about them. And it dawned on me, you know, there was a time in my life when I made $7,000 for the entire year, and I survived on $7,000. Now I was at a point I could spend $48,000 on a watch and not even know that I bought it or remember right. that I had it. So I thought, do I own these things or do these things own me? You know, I had a lot of cars, and, you know, so I have a guy who comes and details them every week. And a lot of times he would come, and two of the cars I hadn't even driven them since he had cleaned them the week before. And so I just said, you know, I think some of this stuff is owning me, that I bought into this image of who people expect me to be or the world wants me to be or my branding suggests I should be. And that's... that's not where I want to be, you know. So I, you know, sold off everything, all the cars, everything, sold my place there, which actually sold it to a sheikh from Dubai, including the furniture, everything. Just said, here, give me this much and bring your toothbrush. And, you know, that's what he did. You know, went to Australia for a while and traveled around. And don't get me wrong, I'm not an ascetic, okay? I live very well, and I exactly. still have a lot of things, but I have them in a proportion that I appreciate them, and they do enhance my life and bring value to it. And I do own them because I hold the title on them. I paid for them, let's say. But I don't really... consider like I own them. I utilize them. I use them while they bring value to my life. And when they no longer bring value to my life, I release them into the universe and they find a higher good serving someone else. You have to be careful for the example you brought up, because it's really easy to fall into the negative belief that, yeah, rich people, they're all unhappy because they have all those problems. What if the butler calls in sick? What, you know, the high cost of helicopter maintenance? What if somebody scratches the Rolls Royce? And that's not a belief that's going to serve anybody, right?
Right, right, right.
Yes, it's true. There are some people that have so many possessions and they're fixated on their possessions that they're not bringing joy to their life. But don't go that direction and thinking, yeah, so the answer is to renounce all of that stuff. Money and material things don't matter, because that's not going to take you where you want to be either.
Well, I think what you said, I think to clarify that is, I think it's very important, because the bold step is what you actually did. You said, okay, wait a second, let me look at this and go inside and figure out what I really is important to me. It didn't take away from your lifestyle, I can feel the vibration out there in the audience. People are now still, Randy, still stuck on the 48,000 watch in the back of the closet. they're still stuck on the cars that you didn't have a chance to drive. So people, calm down out there. I can tell you're vibrating. We're talking about what true prosperity and what you can do today to achieve that, the steps. You know, it's prosperity is an evolving thing, of course. You don't just achieve it, I don't think. It's something that's always happening for you.
Yeah, it's a state of being. Eric Butterworth used to say, you know, poverty is not the absence of money and things, and prosperity is not just collecting money and things. It's prosperity is a mindset. Poverty is a mindset.
And when did you make that switch, Randy? Because like you said, you used to make $7,000 a year and you were not living this life now, but you were stuck somewhere in your mind. Where was that and how did you get out of it?
Well, I think it really happened big time when I was 30 and the IRS seized my restaurant I was struggling to make successful, and they seized it and auctioned it off on the courthouse for tax liabilities that I owed. And I just, you know, I had no house, no car, no job. I was $55,000 in debt, which at that point in my life might have been, you know, $50 million for what it meant to me.
Right.
And I just said, this isn't working. My life just isn't working. I have got to. And the big breakthrough for me was, you know, that was the culmination of a bunch of dysfunctional relationships, a bunch of health challenges, a number of business failures. And that's when I said, come on, you know, is there one person who's always at the scene of the crime? And, of course, you know, I didn't like that answer that I came to, but that was the answer I needed to get at that moment, because I realized, you know, I have been a co-creator in all of these things that have happened to me. And if I want to change my life, I got to change me.
Right. So you took that step, or steps, not just
one thing. I got on that journey, which I'm still on today.
Well, I love what you said about being the – I heard you speak. Randy is a phenomenal speaker, and you speak all around the world at different events, organizations, and you're just phenomenal. But I had the privilege of hearing you speak one time in Miami, and you said that same exact thing, that who is the person at the scene of all the crimes? And it's like, yeah, there's a common thread going on here, and I seem to be always there, and that really made an impression on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to hear you repeat that today. Now, Randy, like you said, you have 9 books. And I know that one title that you have throughout your bio, that we were born to be rich. Can you clarify that for us?
Well, I think prosperity is our natural birthright. I think we're meant to be healthy, happy, and prosperous. And that we get away from that because we don't live by the universal laws that we have to live in accord with. Of course, I wrote a different book all about how that happens. That book is called How to Be Why You're Dumb, Sick, and Broke, and How to Get Smart, Healthy, and Rich. And that book is all about programming, the insidious negative programming that we get from books, booklets, TV, radio, internet, social media, governments, organized religion, that cause us to sabotage our own success. We get we buy into these limiting beliefs. Money is bad. It's spiritual to be poor. It's honorable to be poor. Noble to be poor. You got to sell your soul to make money. You got to be a bad mommy to be good in business, or whatever they are.
Right.
And so we get off of our path of what we should be on, because we actually have negative programming which is out of alignment with what we really should be doing and how we should be living. But our natural stuff, I mean, look at any baby. Babies are just happy. They're just, look at a puppy, look at a kitten when they're, you know, they're just, their default state is prosperous. And then we regulate that out of them, train that out of them, beat that out of them, you know, structure that out of them as they grow up.
How do you – now, I know people who are out there who don't have money think, I'm not prosperous. But what if you do have the money and you still feel stuck and you are trying to figure out this piece that you're talking about, Randy, that you said you were stuck on one gear and you couldn't get out of it until this – confluence of events happen that catapulted you into a new state of mind. What's the most common thing you see people do or doing that are doing incorrectly?
Well, they think that more money is going to finally bring them happiness, or more things are going to finally bring them happiness, or more titles are going to bring them happiness. And that's not the case. Happiness is a choice. Now, the money, material things help because, of course, people say money doesn't buy happiness. Absolutely right. But poverty doesn't buy happiness either. We know that. It's
absolutely. I've been rich enough.
Now, what money and material things do is they allow us the self-expression that can make us very happy. So when you just chase after the money, that doesn't bring you happiness. But when you find ways to contribute to the world in a way and you attract money because, you know, all prosperity is created by solving problems and adding value. So anytime you solve problems or add value, people will gratefully, lovingly, joyfully crawl naked over broken glass and throw money at you because you make their problems go away, right? Because nobody really wants money. Everybody thinks they want more money, but what do they do as soon as they get it? Every Friday they get paid and they run to Pizza Hut and they get a pizza and they run and, you know, download all of the streaming videos they want to watch that weekend and they buy the new jacket they wanted and the $6 mocha frappuccino at Starbucks, and they give away all that money as quick as they get it and trade it for the stuff that they really wanted. So nobody really wants money. They want the things that money can give them. So
right,
you stop
right.
Realizing, okay, so I don't have to just keep chasing after money. I just need to focus on what are the things that bring joy to my life? What are the things that enhance my life? And how do I create a harmonious environment where I have those things around me?
It sounds very simple.
It is pretty simple. It's not easy, but it is pretty simple.
Yeah, Randy, you are still ahead of the curve. Well, Randy, one last question. How would you define bold?
How would I define bold? Fresh, innovative, contrarian, different. I mean, we live in a society obsessed with similarity, obsessed with not standing out, with fitting in and not drawing attention to ourselves. And I think bold is the opposite of all that. Bold is standing up for what you believe in, being strong in what you believe in, and not being bashful about it. And just saying, you know, here I am, or here's what I'm doing, or here's what I'm going to do, and being willing to take a stand. And boldness is breathtakingly refreshing in today's world.
Well, we love that definition, and we're gonna take that from Randy Gage. Being bold, that's what this show's about finding that place in you where you can really prosper and really be vibrant in this world. Randy, we can find you at randygage.com, and I understand that there is Prosperity TV.
Yeah, just a youtube.com/randygage is my channel, and it's called Prosperity TV. I put up a new show every Monday, and just sharing the principles of prosperity.
Thank you, Randy Gage, for coming on Bold today. We love it.
All right, it was great being on with you.
If you like what you heard, join the conversation at getboldtoday.com. There you'll find conversations and episodes with people who inspire us to live, laugh, and love out loud. You can like us, Google Plus us, Instagram us, tweet us at getboldtoday. We close as always. Remember, shift happens right where you are. Be the change and get bold today.